I'm Jordan Johnson, founder of Naked Farmer, and you're watching Like a Farmer.
Hey everybody, Pat, welcome to another episode of Like a Farmer. And today, we are actually in my home state, the beautiful state of Florida, and I'm with another Floridian himself. Some might know him as Jordan Johnson, but most recently, I know him as the Naked Farmer. Jordan, thanks for coming on the show today, man.
So excited to be here.
You like that intro, don't you?
I do.
Naked Farmer.
And it's important to know that, you know, today I'm fully dressed.
I can see that. Yeah. And I can't wait to actually get to the point of what, like, how that name came up. But I want to start from the beginning. Grew up in Celebration,
yeah,
Florida. Mm-hmm. And you went to UF, so we do have some more common themes between us. Go Gators.
Go Gators.
And, well, next week's the SEC tournament, so I'm super pumped about that. And then, unfortunately, it's kind of rare recent years that we actually get to play in March as a basketball team. But it seems like we're going to be going to the tournament. Any predictions on how our Gators are going to do in March Madness?
I'm excited. I'm a momentum guy.
Yeah.
And it's looking really good. I like basketball more than football right now, so I'm all in.
Me and you both, and I think for every Gator out there, we can speak for all of them right now. What did you study at UF?
Economics.
Okay.
Yeah.
And after UF, you started your career, and you're an entrepreneur by heart, and that's, we've been talking a little bit before you came on the show, and that's one of the main things I love about you. And when you think about traits of the farmer and what we're doing with Like a Farmer, celebrating who the farmer is and educating the people on where their food comes from and where their clothes come from. But farmers have specific traits, one of the big ones being an entrepreneur, right? I mean, every single day they're making decisions that sometimes they didn't make the day before because they have to, whether it's policies and politics, natural disasters, whether the consumer, which you deal with a lot in your current job. But you started right out of college with General Electric, correct?
Mm-hmm.
And how was that?
GE was an awesome company.
Yeah.
It was the job that everybody told me I should want. And I got some of the best training on how to run a business that I used to this day. So it was really cool. It was really big. It was sort of hard to wrap my arms around it.
Yeah.
There were 300,000 people working there when I was there. So I felt like, you know, a spoke in the wheel at best.
Yeah, totally.
And so I got some great training. I got to see some really cool things, and I got to see how one of the best ran their business. But I ultimately knew it wasn't for me.
Yeah.
I wanted to do something where I really felt like I was making a bigger impact.
Yeah, and the transition you made from, and I'm calling it corporate America, right? I mean, you just told me how many employees. I mean, that's a big corporation. And then you go into, you've had, like I mentioned, an entrepreneur soul in you. You've had a couple startup companies, right? You had a, was it a rideshare app?
Yeah.
Was that when you were in college or right after
right
GE?
Right after GE.
Okay.
And yeah.
Like, what, like when you, I feel like you're the type of guy, which I love, you're sitting at the house hanging out and an idea comes to your head,
like, something like that.
Like, how does that type of stuff work when it comes
when to I was at UF? I was student body president, so I got to, yeah, see a lot of like challenges that college campuses were having. One of them was the Safe Ride program. So what I invented was basically Uber for college campuses, so you could see where the circular buses were on their routes, and then if you needed a ride home from from the campus Safe Ride program, which is essentially, most colleges have it, it's a nighttime free cab service.
Yeah.
You could just hail it on the phone. So I always joke with my friends, I'm like 1/1000th as smart as the Uber guys, because I thought of a similar idea in a much smaller scope. So
that's awesome.
Yeah.
And what other, I mean, have you had any other businesses when it comes to that type of stuff?
Yeah.
Started?
That one was acquired within about a year really quickly. And then I created another one, which was basically, it took the blue light emergency phone that,
yeah,
kind of, you know, is stationary, and it's they're all over the college campuses. And
yeah,
I put that on the smartphone. And I'm like, man, this is going to be such a great idea. I was just coming off a fresh acquisition of my of Tap Ride.
Yeah.
Created Tap Shield, right?
Dude, that's awesome.
But what I didn't realize was how hard it was going to be to withstand the sales cycles. So the first one sold into colleges and universities, you know, transportation directors and students. Student government could buy this.
Yep.
The other one involved the chief of police of the college campus and about 13 other decision makers. And so it took 2-3 years for colleges to buy this one. And it, you know, a startup technology company can't take that kind of sales cycle. So we dramatically underestimated that. That one didn't work. So first one did, second one didn't.
Yeah.
Both great ideas, but it taught me to really, really look at the market and understand like the the product market fit and really just be more thoughtful about that in the future. And so it was hard to fail, but it was an awesome lesson that I learned.
Yeah.
And beat the heck out of going, getting an MBA or going to law school.
So. Totally. I want to do a segment on the show, man. It's called The Biggest Gamble.
All right.
What do you, and I mean, this is, I'm super excited about this because especially your entrepreneur mind. What do you think the biggest gamble you've taken in your life is on all aspects throughout your career?
Starting Naked Farmer. When industry heavyweights told me it wouldn't work.
And why do you think they said it?
Stupid name, bad first location. It can't really be locally sourced and make a profit. So you might think you're going to be that way, but then you'll change it as you go in the future. And what's funny is sometimes I see those guys and I always give them a very hard time because of that conversation. And they see what we're doing now, so they laugh. And it's encouraging because that was a really big gamble. With a name like Naked Farmer, you can't just sort of put your finger up and test the wind and see where it's blowing and say,
dude, you could go any direction with that name.
Right? Maybe we won't be locally sourced later. Yeah. No. It's in the name. Like, this is the brand. We yeah. can't go out there and fake it and then pull back and just be like every other restaurant. And so that was a big gamble to me in my life because there's no success book written on this one.
Yeah.
That wasn't like, hey, if you go do A, B, and C, you're going to be just fine. Sleep at night, take your 2 days off. You know, I remember I used to have a Sprinter van and I would wake up really early. I'd throw one or two of my little boys yeah. in the Sprinter van and we'd go to the St. Pete Farmers Market to buy vegetables for the restaurant that week.
That's awesome. Where do you get this type of mindset when it comes to business? Like, is there influences that had happened in your life growing up or family, or like, where did all of this stuff come from?
Hunger to be recognized. Really grew up without a father, and for me that's always been a driver for me.
Yeah.
Maybe in some ways an unhealthy driver. Searching for that significance that I never felt from him growing up. And so some people that are really close to me, you know, they say, hey, you know, you're good. You're doing good. And that's cool to hear. But inside of me, there's a fire for just relentless improvement and growth, personal growth, professional growth. And really the second layer to that is having kids. So I got 3 kids of my own. And I want them to see, that's been the most rewarding chapter of my life by far. Take everything else and throw it away. That has just been such an incredible blessing to me. And so, you know, the idea of them seeing their father out working hard and doing the hard things and taking a dream and making it into something special, it's so much more than just, you know, telling your kids to work hard. When they see you actually doing it every day, and they see dad coming home late, leaving early,
yeah,
it means so much more to them because they've got a front row seat to this. And you know, when we take them to the farm, or they walk into the restaurants and they see it buzzing, it's just the coolest thing in the world because they see that, you know, dad's doing something that. It's hard work And it's also making a difference. It's building a better food system. It's making the community a better place. It's taking farmers that we know on a first name basis, and it's helping them grow their business. And that's pretty cool. Yeah. And they also like going to the farm and getting as dirty as possible.
I love that. Yeah. And that's really cool and interesting to know that about you. And same with me. It's the same with me. I mean, I grew up without a father. I've got a great stepdad now, but you know, it was a mom raising three boys by herself. I mean, you talk about a powerful woman she is, right? And also a full-time farmer. So,
isn't that called a fraternity house?
Exactly. You're exactly right. But I respect that. Again, I can tell you're a great father to your kids, and just by knowing you the little time I do, because of you wanting them to show, number one, what success looks like, but how you get to success. Hard work, you have to face adversity sometimes, and it goes back to what I'm saying on why we started Like a Farmer. Like, your food doesn't just show up on a plate. I mean, there's people that are getting their hands dirty every single day, 24/7, to make that happen, which is why I want to go into your next stage in your career. You go to So Fresh, and is that kind of where you, in your mind, started to realize like the importance of who the farmer was and where the food came from, or where did that mindset come?
Yeah, it came when I was working there.
Yeah.
Another healthy, fast casual chain of restaurants,
yep.
Delicious food, and I started to just geek out over like where our food was coming from.
Yeah.
And I started reading these books and just looking around, and I'm like, wait, we've got all these farms here in Florida. You drive by them all the time, but most of our food, even at really nice restaurants, is sourced from California, Guatemala, Mexico,
yeah.
And these are beautiful places, but it's a hell of a long way for your food to travel to make it onto your plate. So I read a book called Food Fix by Dr. Mark Hyman. He's a New York Times bestseller.
Food Fix. Love that. We're going to make sure we put that on.
And I just became, I couldn't stop thinking about this issue of how we're sourcing our food from so far away, from really like national farms or producers, and there's a national food supply chain, right? We all saw that breakdown during the pandemic when real food was literally flying off the shelves in the grocery stores, and you couldn't, the food supply system literally broke.
Yeah.
Because when the trucks weren't running from California, and they weren't, you know, coming over the border from Mexico, it broke. But that didn't mean the kale and the broccoli stopped growing in our farmers here in Florida.
Yeah.
Totally. So that was a real validation to what we were doing. And so we set out on this dream to create a restaurant group to build a better food system.
Yeah.
Because what's better for the planet is better for our body. And by the way, it's better for the local economy too, because when you spend $1 at Naked Farmer and I turn around and buy produce from Gamble Creek Farms in Sarasota, they're, you know, 40 miles away, they're turning around and they're hiring another farmhand with that, and that farmhand's buying school supplies for his daughter at the local place, and it's just this very virtuous cycle. And so what we're doing at Naked Farmer, it's nothing new.
Yeah.
People are like, wow, you guys are paving the way. We've never seen a farm. And I'm like, guys, what we're doing is not anything special.
Yeah.
Many of America's first diners were created, and they served unpretentious food sourced from farms nearby. They didn't have Sysco or U.S. Foods or these national food supply chains. You know, the diner, you'd pull off the side of the road, and you got your chickens from John, and Mary and Joe grew the sweet potatoes, and, you know, everything was so localized. And so for us, Naked Farmer is going back into the past to actually go forward into the future.
Yeah, absolutely. And growing up, like, you didn't have any of this type of experience on a farm, right? I mean,
zero.
And that's the cool thing about it. I mean, you literally educated yourself about agriculture. And before we get into the Naked Farmer, I mean, you just hit on a couple of things. We have issues in ag, right? I mean, we're coming to a point where land shortage, it just is what it is. I mean, we're building more homes than anybody, especially in this state. a food shortage is going to happen if we don't make some right choices at a higher level in labor. And you're starting to see that a lot as you go to these farms. It is so hard to get people to work in ag. It's very hard. So you educate yourself on these things, and then you basically say, look, I'm going to start a farm-to-table restaurant chain, being the Naked Farmer. Where does the name come from? I love the name, by the way.
Naked Farmer speaks to the expression of the food. So when the food is sourced from farms close to home, and it travels only as far as it needs to make it to your plate, it tastes really damn good.
Yeah.
And you don't have to do much to the vegetables, so we leave them naked.
Dude, I'm telling you, I mean, you put some Everglades seasoning on, you know, a good piece of beef or even the veggies, I'm good to go. So you're exactly right. That was my shout out to Everglades. I love Everglades.
Same.
Do you?
Oh, yeah.
My God. I feel like you can't be like a true Floridian if you don't like Everglades.
No, you should actually have to move out of the state.
I'm told, and I'll even throw it on some popcorn. I'll throw it on some, you know, beef, chicken, whatever. And then it's just unbelievable.
A little popcorn trick for you, since we're here, is do the Everglades seasoning and then do some freshly grated Parmesan right after it comes out. And then you can thank me later, Pat.
That sounds amazing.
I didn't know I was going to have to drop that on you today, but you know what I mean?
So prior to like you saying, okay, Naked Farmer is a thing, what's the first step to that? Did you go and source these farmers prior to opening the restaurant?
Yeah.
And all around the area, right?
Yeah.
And like, what's that conversation like? I mean, you're basically just rolling up to the farm and just say, hey, this is the idea.
Yeah, I went to some pretty weird places.
Did you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, you're looking for farmers.
Yeah.
You have this dream of a restaurant.
Yeah.
With this crazy name that everyone's like, that's crazy. You know, what is it? You know, Naked Farm. It's a restaurant. Okay. It's not. That's the business.
Yeah.
And so you're going to these farmers and you're telling them about this dream. They probably don't really believe you because they've been approached by a lot of other people that told them they were going to buy all of their vegetables at a restaurant before. And then, you know, they stopped when the food cost was too high. So lots of interesting trips to a lot of different farms, just spreading the gospel on this mission that we were about to go on. And it took about 9-10 months to build our direct to farm food supply network, and then COVID hit, and we pivoted the entire company within about 48 hours to become a digital farmers market. So at a time when we couldn't open the physical doors to our first restaurant because our restaurant was just finishing up in April of 2020.
Are you kidding?
Spent all my savings on building my first restaurant.
And then COVID hits.
Yeah, and I'm like, this was the dumbest idea.
And this was the first, this is great. This was the first restaurant that you opened up, and then COVID hits.
Boom.
And then now what? Now are you, there's some, especially, you know, I'm calling it family owned, privately owned restaurants that were pioneers in the COVID chaos of, okay, well, we're going to go take out, we're going to, you know, have some sort of idea where people can at least show up and get to go orders. Like, did you do any?
That was it.
Like,
okay. It was me and the chef.
Yeah.
But before we could open the restaurant, because there was a time period there where it was like, don't open, can't open.
Yeah.
They wouldn't approve our permit. The restaurant's done.
Yeah.
Spent $900,000, all my savings. Restaurant's done. Can't open restaurants.
Yeah.
Worst possible time, I'm thinking, to open a restaurant in my lifetime.
Yeah.
So we pivoted Naked Farmer in about 48 hours and spun up a digital farmers market. So we took all those direct-to-farm relationships that we had spent 9-10 months building in anticipation of opening the restaurant. And instead of cooking and preparing the food, we got the food in its raw state from farm to door. So then you could go to our website, you could go on Uber Eats and get farm boxes, raw vegetables, free-range chicken, grass-fed beef, right from our farmers to the door of your house. And what we realized in that moment, Pat, it was like our mission never changed.
Yeah.
And it was amazing to be there for the community at such a pivotal time and such an important time, and to really launch our brand, and people knew us. They still know us to this day. Totally, you guys are the ones that did the farm boxes. I got vegetables from you when I couldn't get it from the grocery store.
Are you still doing that today?
Wish we were. We're not. Gotcha. One day we'll bring it back. It's just an entirely different business model than running a restaurant and cooking and serving delicious food. And so those two, figuring out how to marry that, it's on our medium term list.
Yeah. How many farmers are you using right now, if you had to choose?
Probably between 18 to 25, depending on the season. So like right now with this cold weather in Florida, we are the most locally sourced that we are all year.
Yeah.
Probably 80-85% of our menu is sourced from farms nearby, and we define that as being within 500 miles of one of our restaurants. Yeah. Then it gets hotter, then it gets really hot. So in the summer, we're like the least locally sourced that we are all year, and we may just have a handful, some indoor farmers, or we're sourcing fruits that, you know, that can grow during the heat. But so every season is different. We're on our winter menu right now. We'll be launching our spring menu in a couple weeks. But what the cool part is about what we're doing is we're showcasing the season's best. We design our menus in direct conversation with our farmers. What are you growing, and how do we serve that in our restaurants instead of the other way around?
I mean, I love that. I mean, you're basically, these farmers aren't just giving you their food. I mean, they're kind of giving you a recommendation, and they're like, you're kind of talking to them on, hey, give me an idea. Like, tell me what you're growing. Tell me what you would serve with it. I mean, I feel like they're obviously a source for your food, but it's almost like they're kind of a partner with you too. Like, they, you're giving them a say into how to use their produce and meat and et cetera, which is unbelievable.
It's really cool. Like, we just had one a few weeks ago text our culinary director and say, hey, we just had someone drop off, a customer drop off on, you know, 250 pounds of green beans.
Yeah.
Can you guys use them? And we're like, chef, put together a special and put those, get those on the menu. We're running through the weekend. And it's just, that's what it's about. Can you help me?
Yeah.
That's how we started. You know, most of our farmers, their business went from, you know, to, their business went to a screeching halt when the pandemic hit, because most of them made their money by selling into fine dining restaurants and going to farmers markets. That's how small and medium farmers make their money, because they're too small for big grocery stores to pick them up, because the big grocery stores can go get half off same thing from California or Mexico, drive thousands of miles and get it cheaper than they can in our backyard because of economies of scale of these farmers. But when the pandemic hit, that didn't mean that the green beans or the broccoli or the kale just stopped growing.
Yeah.
So they had all sorts of excess supply in that moment. And so we were able to take that, repurpose it, buy it from them, and sell it to people so that they could put it in the refrigerators at home and have real food to serve their families during the pandemic. And so Naked Farmers started day one to help farmers. And we're still doing it today, and that is the most rewarding part about what we do.
I love that. So when you think about Naked Farmer, and I almost like to call it, it's farmer built, which is so cool. Like, what's something that you would say about the farmer to the everyday person right now, who's just a consumer?
Yeah. Salt of the earth. Literally the reason that America is here is because of the ingenuity and the just relentlessness of the farmer. These are not rich people. They're not wealthy people. They go from one moment digging their hand in the dirt, you know, to pull out that beet to shaking your hand so they can, you know, sell the vegetables for that season. It's incredibly admirable what farmers do. And I think our society has gotten so disconnected from that. They think the food just shows up and it's pretty and polished and clean at the grocery store. Yep. You should see the back of our kitchens when some of the vegetables used to come into Naked Farmer when we first started. They would be so dirty and so sandy.
Yeah.
take us 3-4 hours just to wash them off. And part of what we see our job at Naked Farmer is to tell that story behind the farmer, behind the family, and connect farmers to community. Because I believe that we've gotten so out of touch with how our food's grown, where it comes from, how it's treated. And I believe that it's our job as our restaurant to really, you know, make sure that message is known. It really concerns me that the biggest owner of farmland is Bill Gates in China. Why does China own so much farmland in America? The question is not, is locally sourcing your food cool?
Yeah.
It's how are we going to feed the planet in 100 years?
I agree. Yeah, totally. This is really cool. And it reminds me of the presenting sponsor of the show being Ag America, right? Ag America, they finance farms and ranches all over the country. They are a finance partner for farmers and ranchers to help their operations succeed. But the other side of the business and why they're the presenting sponsor is to share the message of who the farmer is and to celebrate them and to educate them. Naked Farmer, you serve great food to feed people every single day, but you want to have a message to everybody that comes into the restaurant like, hey, this is where the food comes from. It comes from the farmer, and this is who the farmer is. Like, you're not just a restaurant, you're a brand, right? I mean, you want to make sure everybody knows where the food comes from and who's growing the food. Like, why? Why? Because, you know, if you just showed up every single day, turn the lights on, turn the, you know, the grill on, the kitchen on, and serve the food, you're going to be fine. But you're going that extra step to share the message of who the farmer is. Why is that?
We're storytellers.
Yeah.
Behind the farms, the farmers, seasonality behind your food.
Yep.
You know, we take Brussels sprouts off in a couple of weeks and we'll get hate messages about it, but the Brussels aren't growing anymore.
Yeah.
In the Southeast or even in America after it gets hot.
Yep.
And, you know, we'll be bringing back our famous street cart corn. Why? Because in the summer, corn in Florida is so delicious. It's peak season. It's sweet. It's full of flavor. That's what this is about. Because this isn't about us making a big profit. It's about our kids, their kids, and building a more resilient food supply system for future generations and beyond. And the only way to do that is by building a more local food supply system.
Yeah.
All over, everywhere. We're just starting here in Florida because that's where we live. That's where we've opened our first few restaurants. But we believe that it's our job for our farmers to ride on our proverbial coattails up. As we get bigger, they get bigger. The economies of scale become more and more achievable for them. And then all of a sudden you're seeing their stuff in the grocery store. You're seeing their stuff, not just at Naked Farmer, but at all the restaurants. And that's what this is about.
Yeah. That's awesome. You get it. And this is so cool. This is why I was so excited to have you on the show. We've done such a great job celebrating the farmer, right? We've had cool, unbelievable people come on this show, right? Yeah. Whether it's Josh Allen or Riley Green or Marty Smith or Ross Chastain. I mean, because these guys, on how they were raised growing up in rural America, most all of them, they understand who the farmer is. And with their platform, they love celebrating the farmer. And then Jordan Johnson comes on. And you have educated yourself to understand who the farmer is and where the food comes from, and now you're sharing that message. And I bring you on to help me on the educating side on the consumer. Like, how would you challenge the everyday consumer right now to lean into understanding where their food comes from?
Ask the question, where is this food coming from?
Yeah.
Buy that dollar more and more expensive pack of green beans.
Totally.
Because it's grown at C&B Farms in Clewiston, which, by the way, makes the best damn green beans you've ever had in your life.
Ooh,
and
like that.
They're delicious. And yeah. It's just south of Lake Okeechobee. It's an hour and a half away, 2 hours away from where we're talking right now. So go buy those. Spend a little more. Ask the question when you're next time you go out to your restaurant, you know.
Yeah.
Who are your local partners?
That's spot on. And now that you just said that, let's just keep in mind, like, we're in a very heavy ag state being in Florida. Mm-hmm. So shout out to all the farmers out there mm-hmm. that are within a 20-mile radius of where Jordan and I are sitting right now. I mean, we have some badass operations right here in our home state, and we should be proud of that.
We should.
I mean, that's freaking awesome.
Yeah.
What does scalability look like when it comes to Naked Farmer?
Hard.
Yeah.
You don't just open a restaurant and call the Cisco truck to show up and drop off the food. We cluster our stores around our direct-to-farm supply chain that we've built. And so it makes sense to cluster, you know, 5, 7, 10 locations so that all of these guys can feed off of the same supply chain. So
and those locations right now are?
We're in Water Street, Tampa.
Yep.
Downtown St. Pete. We're in South Tampa. We have a delivery kitchen there. And then we're in downtown Miami, Coral Gables, Sunrise, Florida, and soon to open in Sarasota at University Town Center. That one will open in June.
How do you go about choosing the next location? Is it radius of where the food's coming from? Is it,
yeah,
you know, the economy in that area? Is it the people living in that area? Or is it just a mixture of all of it?
Right now we have a South Florida farm supply chain that we've set up, and we have a Tampa Bay, West Coast Florida.
Yeah.
So we're really focused on co-developing those two markets. And within those markets, we go to places with high density of people. We want to go where the mouths are.
Where, if you had to answer, where's Naked Farmer going to be in 5 years, where would you say?
All over the Southeast. Naked Farmer is a Southeast United States story. So in 5 years, we'll be at 50 locations throughout, you know, Florida, Georgia, North Carolina, South Carolina, Tennessee.
And do you feel like when it comes to adding on farmers for each location, I mean, that's you doing it, right? I mean, you're still boots on the ground adding the farmers,
yeah,
right?
Literally boots.
Yeah, I mean, you got the good-looking boot. What kind of boots are those?
These are Tecovas.
Okay, little Tecovas action.
Tecovas.
What's your go-to boot style?
This is it.
Yeah.
These are my favorite boots.
Yeah, I have
Tecovas. You have similar.
On. Yeah, I got Tecovas on too. These things are worn out, man.
I like yours better because it just shows that you're doing the real work out there.
Dude, they're...
Some miles on them.
I mean, look at this. Tecovas, can you see this? Kent, can you... Is it showing on the screen? There you go. Tecovas, man. I need some more boots. There's my...
What size are you? So when they watch this, they can send you your next pair.
I am size 11.
Perfect. So am I. So if they just send two to your house, you let me know and I'll come by.
Look at that. I love that, man. But so you're the one that's still signing up these farmers. I mean, what's the... Are you going online and saying farmers in Bartow, Florida, or farmers in Aiken, South Carolina? Or are you... I mean, what's the process look like?
Well, as you know, farmers don't many times have websites, period.
Yeah.
So this is not like, hey, let me flip open my Yelp and find the farmers. It's not like that. It's a lot harder to find our farmers. It's easier now because people know who we are. They know what we're out there doing. But most of our relationships come from just, you know, referrals from our existing farmers.
Yeah.
Hey, I know you guys are buying a lot of sweet potatoes. Have you met these guys in Hastings, Florida? No. Can you... Yeah, great. Now they're in the system.
Yeah. When it comes to this, I geek out about this stuff. I mean, my time at Ag America, it's how can I make the farmer successful at their operation? And there's... you got to be diverse. Diversity is huge in ag. This farm to table trend thing that we have in America right now, like, how big of a revenue source do you think it is and could be for the American farmer? And what I mean by that is, like, hey, instead of, you know, just shipping it off to whoever, like, mm-hmm. go and find a restaurant partner to have a direct source on where your crop is going. Like, how big is that right now? And how big do you see it being in the future?
This is the next frontier.
I agree.
Because people are becoming smarter, they're becoming more educated about why this matters. You know, 10 years ago, you would go to Panera Bread and say, this is healthy because they have kale on the menu. Today, you say, great, got kale. Where's it from?
Exactly.
And so that's where we see it going. Instead of, you know, two or three or four big guys, right? Like you think about Tyson Chicken, right? Why does like 80% of our chicken come from Tyson Farms? And then when something bad happens there, it's like all the chicken is down in America because one outbreak happened. I think as people are starting to become more and more educated, it's the season of enlightenment on our food supply. Where is it coming from? How's it grown? Right.
Yep.
And you know, how you treating those animals, because that matters too. And by the way, they taste really, really good when you take care of the animals when during their time with us. So I can't wait to see where it goes. I don't know the answer to that, by the way. I'm just telling you what I'm seeing, and people are interested. They actually really care. They're telling us, I'm eating here at Naked Farmer because where you source your food matters.
Yeah. Wow. Absolutely.
That's cool.
It's just such the trendy thing now is that farm to table, and it's so cool to see. And like I said,
why does it have to be trendy?
Isn't that
crazy? No.
Okay. So because I use the right word, right?
Use the right word. Yeah. Why does it have to be trendy?
I agree.
Why does that have to be cool to eat food that's been picked days ago instead of weeks ago and travels only as far as it needed to make it to your plate? Because I don't think if we open Naked Farmer in many places in Europe, it would be all that special.
Yeah.
That's how they're eating over there.
Dude, you're spot on. Yeah, why does it have to be cool, trendy, et cetera?
Yeah.
And that it's hell, man. You hit it. I really like you a lot. I'm so glad you came on the show.
That's good.
It's like, this is what we're doing, me and the team, on trying to shed light of like, dude, farming is cool. Like when you sit down and eat, and you've got these companies that are doing the fake meat and all that other stuff right now.
What's in that stuff? Does anybody really know?
I don't even want to talk about it. I have no idea, but like you kind of have to be cautious of it. And that's why I'm so thankful on how I grew up, because it's always been fresh, man. Like I'm going to wake up and I'm going to know where my eggs came from, and I'm damn sure going to know where my orange juice came from, because it's Florida's natural orange juice that comes from the state of Florida. And like why does that have to be like a trendy thing? Like that should just be normal, because a lot of people are doing it. And if we make it normal, then the farmers are going to continue to get the support they need in this country. It's freaking awesome. I love that. We've talked a lot about you going after these farmers to help with your restaurant. Let's flip it. Like, what would be some advice you would give to the farmer now to get into this type of stuff? Like, is there stuff in the operation that they have to do or change, or is it decision making? Is it marketing, right? Marketing is huge in ag. Like, what type of stuff do they need to be doing on the operation to have an avenue to go to a farm to table type of aspect?
Call Naked Farmer. We want to sell your food at our restaurants. That's my first message.
Yeah.
granted, there's enough supply for us to handle. We've got two or three broccoli farmers right now because we go through so much broccoli. It's just, it's incredible. And same thing with our beef.
Yeah.
You know, we've got beef providers that are scattered throughout the state because no single one can handle all the ground beef that we're using for the meatballs. It's just, it's crazy. So bring, you know, first off, call a Naked Farmer. Yeah. There's my not so shameless plug, but you know, challenge yourself to get out there and, you know, spread the word in the community about what you're doing, because what you're doing matters and people care about it. They're starting to care about it, and they're going to care about it more and more and more.
Yeah.
History will be on the farmer's side.
God, I love that, man. Do you, and all of your farmers right now are in Florida, right? None in Georgia, South Carolina? Yet. I mean, they're just within.
We have some that, especially as it starts to get hotter here, they're going to start shifting north a little bit.
Yep.
So Georgia, South Carolina, North Carolina, sweet potatoes will shift up to North Carolina here soon, because they're going to get so hot that there's a big one up there. I think it's Jones Sweet Potato Farm. So hotter here goes north, and then it just gets hot everywhere.
Yeah.
And you know, that's when we leverage a lot of indoor hydroponic, and then there's also, you know, things like corn that grow really well in the heat through the fall. So
farming is so cool.
It's so cool. There's nothing that has taught me more about the meaning of life and just the circle of life, the cycle of life, the sunrise and the sunset and the seasonality. You and I could have a much longer conversation than this one about the parallels on farming to just the meaning of life, period. And if we can just take that typical guest that walks in our restaurant and just take them and educate them one more step, and then maybe one more after that, and then, oh, they've been eating with us for 2 years, so another two steps forward of where they were before, bringing that awareness, that storytelling, that education piece day in and day out, that's where the magic is on this whole thing. And that's when you start to change the food game.
Totally agree. I got to make sure I get you some swag. I've got one of those super cool hat, because you're For the Farmer, man. I can see that. I've got a hat that says For the Farmer.
Seen so I it. Need to, like, I was hoping I'd get offered one.
I know.
I'm not a race car driver or a country singer.
No, it's not that. Now I feel really bad. We are sending you like a huge care package, so you're going to have all the cool gear. So I apologize for
There's
not
bringing no pressure,
it today. Bro. You ever see yourself maybe like owning a farm and being a full time farmer one day?
One of my dreams is to own a farm. I want our kids to understand where the food comes from and the source of it. I want them to understand how this all works. And I want them to live and breathe and be out in that nature, understand that peace, and also understand, like, you know, it is not pretty. It is not sexy. It is hard, hard work. We are not separate from the food system. We are just merely a part of it. And one of my dreams is to one day own a farm of our own that can, you know, source food to our restaurants, but also be just a shining example of, you know, what that looks like to my family and to my kids, so that they can understand what farming is really about.
I love that, man. I appreciate you coming on the show today. I mean, this has been fantastic.
Like, thank you.
I'll go back to it. I mean, the Naked Farmer name, I absolutely love. And we have a lot of mutual friends, so when they said, dude, what you're doing and what Jordan's doing with Naked Farmer, y'all have so much great synergies, like, you need to get them on the show. And I'm like, Naked Farmer, like, what an awesome name. And let me dig into this guy. And I can't tell you enough how happy I am that there's people like you that didn't come from ag, that didn't come from a farming family, that has educated themselves to understand ag and farmers and to be successful off of them and to help them and to share their message and to storytell like you like to do. It makes me feel like we're going in the right direction when it comes to an industry that gets no light shed on them being in the ag industry. And I think we're going to be all right when we have people like you in this country. I really do, and I mean that.
Highest compliment. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And come on the show anytime, dude. This
please.
Fantastic.
What an honor. It's my honor, by the way. Thank you.
And I'm excited to come check out the restaurant, too.
We're going to stuff you with vegetables.
Love it. Everybody, I appreciate y'all tuning in. And as always, like, comment, share, subscribe. Do whatever you got to do to be like a farmer.